Hi, it's Misty. This is Lattes and Legends. Hey, friends. I meant to record yesterday, but I didn't come to my office because it was snowing. I think we had like a foot of snow, so that was cool. So I'm here now. Happy President's Day. I had a latte, and that was at 8:30. It's now 10:30. And for about an hour now, I've been doing research for this and thinking about another latte. So I'm going to go get another latte after this is done. I'm off today, so I think it's fine. And it's still snowing. The sun is kind of peeking through. Apparently, it's supposed to snow again tonight. So here's your weather forecast. The end. So I'm super excited because one of my most wonderful friends in the whole wide world really started to enjoy my podcast, and it's my nephew. So Donovan, if you're listening, I love your face off, which also means I've got to edit my adult language down a little bit because he's still young. But you know, it is what it is. I should be able to go through one sentence without saying cuss words anyway, so we'll see how that goes. So Donovan, if your mom says earmuffs, earmuffs. If she tells you not to repeat a word, don't repeat a word. Okay. I love you. I don't know if anyone else is watching it or watched it, but there's the documentary of the Cecil Hotel on Netflix, and I finished it last night, and I want to say a couple things about it. I won't go too far into it in case you haven't seen it. I want to say that the first two episodes kind of creeped me out. The video of Elisa Lam really creeps me out, and I have a theory of my own about that, but that's for a different day, different show. I do also want to say that the internet sleuths at the beginning, where I was like, okay, that's cool. I get it. I get that you want to solve crimes from your computer and your mom's basement. I get it. However, at the end, when the internet sleuths were accusing a man of murder that they didn't even know, that they didn't even have any info on, a man that attempted suicide because of what people did to him online is so shitty. The fact that the case was closed, no one's apologized to this poor man, like, horrible. So, internet sleuths, if you're listening, be fucking kind to people. For real. Human beings have feelings and emotions, and the way that these people treated that man was horrible. I say that, and I just want you guys to know that if you're listening, I love you. Anyway, that's my little soapbox on that documentary. I need some more documentaries to watch and some new podcasts to listen to. So if you have some, please email them to me, lattesandlegends@gmail.com. You can also email me your stories. With that being said, I was watching the documentary about the Cecil Hotel, and so I decided to plunge into a few haunted hotels because I don't think I've done too much of this. This will be now season 4, episode 1, and we're going to start talking about haunted hotels. Okay, here we go. So the first hotel I'm going to talk about is the Roosevelt, and it's located in Los Angeles. And the second one I'm going to talk about is one I've actually visited. I have not stayed at it, but I visited it. And it's the Bourbon Orleans in New Orleans. So, sources for today's podcast are Wikipedia, cntraveler.com, la.curbed.com, hauntedrooms.com, vice.com, patch.com, storiedhotels.com, seeing-stars.com, Atlas Obscura, my favorite, bourbonorleans.com, hauntedrooms.com, louisianatravel.com, hauntedhawking.com, theculturetrip.com, and syncopatedtimes.com. I would also like to tell you that you could book a room at either of these hotels on their websites. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the history of the Roosevelt. It was built in 1926, and it was known as the Golden Era of Los Angeles architecture, and it was named after our 26th president. That's right, Theodore Roosevelt. It was financed by a group that included Louis B. Mayer and Douglas Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. So back then, it cost about $2.5 million to build. Today's money would be $36.8 million. And it was opened on May 15th, 1927. So around the 1950s is when the hotel began to decline. There were some renovations that went on that lasted a very long time, and the hotel was just kind of in shambles. The $35 million renovation took place in 1985, and it reopened. The lobby was restored. They added this three-tiered fountain. Gorgeous. So it's 12 stories in height, has 300 guest rooms and 63 suites. It is near the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And the look inside is like a Spanish colonial revival style. There's rooms named after lots of famous people, including one of the penthouses that's named the Gable Lombard Penthouse after Clark Gable and his wife, Carol Lombard. They stayed there for $5 a night. There's also a Marilyn Monroe suite, as well as poolside cabanas. Oh, yes. If you are visiting Hollywood, you should go here and visit. So the first Academy Awards were held here in 1929. The tickets were $5 each. The awards lasted only 5 minutes, and they only gave out 13 statues. Crazy, huh? The Blossom Ballroom, sorry. The Blossom Ballroom is where the Oscars were held. And coincidentally enough, Prince did a bunch of shows there right before he died. So yeah, up close and personal with him. He actually sold out 7 shows in 2 weeks, and people paid up to $3,000 to see him there. And his personal chef came and designed the whole menu for those in attendance. Oh, wow. So apparently he wanted to stay in the Gable Lombard penthouse, and he put down his white shag carpet and portraits of himself all over the room. That's a little tidbit of info. Okay, so the real reason we're talking about this is because it is supposedly haunted. So let's talk about why there's a suite named after Marilyn Monroe. So Marilyn Monroe was a beautiful, upcoming actress around this time, and people absolutely adored her. So she called the Roosevelt home for 2 years in the 40s, and her first magazine cover shot was there at the hotel pool. So, of course, in the 50s, she became incredibly famous, and as her career progressed, she had some problems with substance abuse and mental illness, and even people labeled her as difficult to work with because of her issues. In 1962, she died in her home in Brentwood of an apparent overdose, which You guys know the conspiracies on this one if you know anything about Marilyn Monroe. So I know a lot of people talk about how if you died somewhere, that's the place you haunt or whatever. But apparently, she still likes to linger around her old room, 1200. So residents that have been there see her pop in and out of the mirror. And a lot of them have been so creeped out by it that they ask to stay somewhere else. Even one of the maintenance workers has said many people see Marilyn in the mirror daily. Interesting. So another celebrity ghost is Montgomery Clift. That's said, and people say that they see him roam the Roosevelt. He also had a really rocky life when it comes to Hollywood and the stuff he had to put up with. Apparently he was bisexual, and his sexuality was not something that people talked about in the 50s. The tabloids found out about it, even though he tried to be very private about it. He was in a horrible car accident in 1956. He smashed into a telephone pole, and his face was disfigured. It also put his life in some serious danger. But he did survive. His acting teacher called his life, quote, the longest suicide in Hollywood, because with all of the pain and everything from the accident, he started using prescription painkillers and alcohol, and that's how he coped with how he looked and his new life. And he tried to go back to acting, but he died of a heart attack in 1966 when he was 45. His spirit is said to occupy room 928, and apparently it's always messing with the thermostat or the radio. So some people that have visited that room say it's trying to communicate with the outside world. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about Clark Gable. So Clark Gable is known best for his role in Gone with the Wind, and it happened one night. He earned an Academy Award, and he was married to Carol Lombard, and she was also a star. She was the highest paid actress of her time, and she met him on a film project that they were working on. First, they were just strictly professional and kept it like that, but they were both married at the time that they met, so it wasn't really something they could do. So they reconnected at a ball, and that's when they began their affair. Gable was actually still married at the time, but Carol Lombard was not anymore. So where did they hide their romance? Oh, at the Roosevelt. Yes, of course. The 12th floor room today is currently known as the Gable Lombard Suite, because they spent so much time there. And they say that that room is haunted with their spirits as well. Another famous person that stayed there was Bill Bojangles Robinson. He was a famous tap dancer in the 30s. If you've ever been to Richmond, Virginia, there is actually a statue of him there. Just a fun fact. So he was in a lot of films. He was actually in 4 films with Shirley Temple. And he spent a lot of time there with her. And apparently one of the routines they did was filmed on the steps of the Roosevelt. And some people say you can still hear him tap dancing there. Interesting. So those are a few fun facts about the Roosevelt and the haunted spirits that linger there. And now on to the Bourbon Orleans Hotel. the history. So this hotel dates back to around 1817. And it was built by an entrepreneur named John Davis. When it opened, there was this giant ballroom in there, and it centered around different events in the area. And most of the people that came to this ballroom, they were very prominent people of New Orleans. Carnival balls were held there, masquerade balls. It was a grand, grand place to be if you were part of the well-to-do in New Orleans. In 1827, it became a meeting place for the state house, and it was rumored that Andrew Jackson also ran for office from there, but that's just a rumor. So the ballroom was very successful, and John Davis decided that he would build a theater across from it, which introduced French opera to the locals. And added a lot more culture and gaming and dining rooms. It was fabulous. So by 1881, the ballroom and the theater were bought by the Sisters of the Holy Family. They were used as convents and schools, and they remained the owners for about 80 years. So the property was then sold and became the Bourbon Orleans Hotel. So the hotel gives guests access to things like dining and shopping and nightlife and dinners. So many wonderful things there. And the history is just grand. All right. So when it was a convent and school, there's lots of interesting things that happened. Yellow fever infected a bunch of the children and it took their lives. A lot of the nuns died for strange reasons. And so now when people stay at the hotel, they report hearing kids laughing up and down the halls. Some guests of the hotel say that their shirts were tugged at from the back, like a kid, like kind of messing with you. There's other tales that say you can hear people being tortured around room 644. And apparently that's the room where a nun committed suicide. A bloody soldier limping down the hallway can be found on the 6th and 3rd floors. And apparently there's a woman dancing who is not really there in the ballroom near the chandeliers. So I wanted to look further into the stories about this hotel. And so there's a website. I just wanted to read a little from this website. The website is hauntedhawking.com, and they talk about visiting the ballroom. So let's see. When they're in the ballroom, here we go. This is what it says. I'm quoting all of this. All right. The ballroom has a ghostly dancer from the mid-1800s when the building was used as a ballroom and theater, and where wealthy gentlemen could meet young mistresses. One of these mistresses is said to return to the ballroom and dances beneath the chandeliers. During our filming, the EMF in the cameraman's hand kept spiking, and a shadow would appear in front of him. You can see a shadow behind and also one in the front. They do have a picture, so you guys can check this website. And no, there was not a flash on the camera to make the shadows. All right, so now they're talking about the 6th floor hallway. 6th floor hallway where a little girl has been heard running and a Civil War soldier saunters along the carpeted floors. This hallway is in the Bourbon Orleans Hotel and is haunted by the soldier on the 6th floor. The building has gone through many hands over the years. All right, that was all done. All right, so just a tidbit of that. Also, they do talk about how there's a cemetery nearby, and they also could hear the sounds of the nun committing suicide or being tortured or what have you. So you should check out that website as well. I think that's pretty much all I have for today. Don't want to talk. But yeah, I will continue to try to do these weekly. It's really hard, you guys, after Friday, I just check out. And you know how bad I am at social media for this. Anyway, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Lattes and Legends Podcast. And I just wanted to, I need to give a shout out to a couple of new podcasts that I'm listening to. I know I've talked about Let's Not Meet. There's a couple more I want to talk about. This is actually happening. Something Was Wrong, Red Collar, and About a Girl. About a Girl is amazing, and it's by the same people that do Disgraceland, although not voiced or hosted by Jake Brennan, but hosted by a woman instead. And it talks about the women in rock stars and musicians' lives, and it gives their side of the story, which is pretty amazing, because the one about David Bowie and his first gal, what's her name, Angie Bowie, is amazing. So you guys should definitely listen to those, and I will be talking to you guys next week. Enjoy the winter weather and have a latte for me.